All right, welcome to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. My co-host Ron Meniza is away this week. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, since I'm flying solo, you can't really call in, but you can email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcasts at whus.org. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Fran Storch, ND. All right, so let's get started. So we've been going through the six basic principles of naturopathic medicine. This week, it's principle number 4, doctor as teacher, in Latin, docere. What does that mean? Well, what it means is, as a physician, I'm not just there to tell you stuff and tell you, okay, you have this condition, take this pill. That's not what I'm there for. What I'm there is to help to educate you about your health. My deal is that I have a lot of information and a lot of years of knowledge and a lot put into knowing lots of stuff about natural medicine and about medicine in general. You have intensive knowledge about yourself. You know more about yourself than anyone. And you may not know it in scientific terms, and you may not know it in medical terms, but I can help to decipher that for you. And I can't help you heal without you. So my job is to teach you how to do that. My job is not to be authoritarian and stand over you and say, okay, do this, do that. My job is to educate you as to how to best heal yourself. So when you come to see me, I'm going to give you information. So say you have Let's say you have a condition. You come in and you have anxiety and depression. I'm not going to sit there and say, okay, well, you can take theanine, which is a lovely extract of green tea that really is helpful for anxiety. You could take that, and I could give you doses to take that with, and it's probably going to make you feel better. I could give you a little bit of rescue remedy. Very nice. Very simple. It's not even an amino acid. It's just flower essences. And if it works for you, it's fabulous because it works at the level of works at the energetic level. It's very gentle, and I can hand that to you. And I can give you magnesium. I can say, you know, you're not taking enough you don't have enough magnesium in your body. Here, take this magnesium. You're going to be less anxious. Probably be less depressed too. I want you to understand what it means to be anxious or depressed. I also, as much as you're going to tell me, and of course, whatever I say to, whenever I'm speaking with a patient, I always say to them, please tell me as little or as much as you want. So when you give a patient permission to tell you as little or as much as you want, usually they choose the as much because you've given them permission to do what they want, and then they feel safe. And so usually I get the whole story that way. That's the intention. I really do mean it. Tell me as little or as much as you want. Like, if you have reasons why you're depressed that you don't want me to know about, it's totally cool. You know, and I have to do a combination. When I'm observing you, I'm doing a combination of listening to what you're saying, as well as making my own observations and using my own intuition. And I do both of those things. So I may intuit things that you're not actively saying. And when you're in practice for a long time, you learn how to do stuff like that. Now, again, you can't do stuff like make assumptions that you know better about the patient than the patient does. I was with a very wise counselor once. We were talking about another physician had said something like, they can look at somebody from across the room and assess them and know who they are before they even speak to them. And the counselor said, well, gee, that's great. You already have assessed them and you know exactly who they are before they've even had a chance to explain themselves. So I really have to look at each patient as tabula rasa, as a blank slate. So remember in the 90s, they had those interesting pictures that were basically fractals. They were like little shapes all over them. And they looked like a repeating design all over them, and they could be different colors. But if you focused on the photo and sort of looked into the photo, then you could see a picture in the photo. That's what happens when you walk in as a patient. When you first walk in, you're like looking at that that picture with all the different designs repeating, and it looks like just a one-dimensional design. And then as I speak with you and hang with you and learn who you are, then you come into focus. And inside that flat picture with all the different designs, I see you, the picture of you coming into focus. Isn't that cool? It's a cool thing I thought of. So doctor is teacher. It's very important that you understand that your relationship with your patient is not hierarchical. You are not over the patient. You are on the same level as the patient, and you have a partnership with the patient so that you are helping to impart information and help them to understand themselves and their bodies however they need to hear it. And you want to give them as much or as little information as they can handle. And, you know, if you're going to do a lab test with them, explain the lab test. Let them have copies of the labs. Explain to them what you're doing and why you're doing it, why it's important, and help them to understand things that get done to them all the time. I mean, you go to the get a physical from your PCP, right? Your family practice doctor, and they do this thing called a chem screen or a comprehensive metabolic panel. Do you even know what that is? You get it done every time you get a physical, and yet does anybody ever explain it to you? It's very important to understand. Likewise, you get a CBC, a complete blood count. Has anybody ever explained to you, you know, that it's a measure of the number and size and amount of your red and white blood cells? And why do you even care about that? That's something that's important to know. When somebody says you have high cholesterol, what does that even mean, right? So you want your doctor to go through and explain that. What does it mean to you? Why is it important? And how is it important? And ask for as much information as you can take. Now, one of the unfortunate things that we see with a lot of physicians is they don't have a lot of time, that they don't spend a lot of time with you in an office visit. So they don't have the time to answer a lot of questions. And one of the things that we do is, you know, my office visits are at least half an hour long. Your new patient visit is at least an hour long, and your return visits are at least half an hour long. And a lot of times, if there isn't somebody after you, I'll sit with you until you're done, which isn't entirely wonderful for me because I put out a lot of energy. But on the other hand, that is what I do. I'm very committed to understanding what is going on with you. And it's more important for me to spend time with you and get it right than it is exactly how much time, which is why sometimes, you know, you come to my office and you wait a little bit before you come in because I'm trying to get it right. I'm trying to get it exactly right with that patient. And I want to leave no stone unturned, and I want to make sure that you walk out the door really understanding what's going on with you, and that if I've offered you some things to do, that they make sense to you, and that you're going to walk out with some ideas of how you're going to help yourself. Doctor as teacher. When you're a teacher, you're not just imparting information, you're always learning. In fact, the word for teacher and student are basically the same in Hebrew. So, and I'm Jewish, so that works. As a teacher, you are always learning because there's always more to learn. Things are always changing. Knowledge is always changing. Remember what Jakewee said in As You Like It. And I saw As You Like It this year. Remember what Jakewee said? He said, the fool thinks himself to be a wise man, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool. So I'm a fool right here. That's me, the fool. And people think I'm really smart, which is very sweet. But I am very aware at how much I don't know. And one of the things I don't know is when you walk into my office, I don't know you. And I don't like to make assumptions about you. I mean, I may make some. And half the time, I mean, obviously, when you take a look at a person, when you first see a person, you're going to make judgments. We all do it. Everybody has their own preconceptions. And when they look at a person, they're going to look at them and they're going to make some judgments about them based on how they look, based on what energy they feel, based on how they're speaking, based on how they're dressed. Everyone does it. And of course, I'm going to do it too. But I try very hard to relax that. And as you come in, I try to make no assumptions. And almost every time, people surprise me that there's something fascinating about them that I had no idea just by looking at them. That's why it's so important not to do that thing that the counselor said not to do, which is look across the room, assess the person, and think you know who they are. That when they come to meet you, you prepare to be surprised, prepare to find out something you don't know, prepare to find out that there's something about this person that you had no idea about just from looking at them. And they're going to offer you things that are amazing. And that happens every time. I mean, really does. People are really amazing. People have unbelievable strength and people have a lot of goodness in them. And if you just talk to them and you spend time with them and you sit with them, you will find that. And then when you treat the person like they're a person and like they're valuable and like you care about what's going on with them, you get better success. You know, people like you better and they come back. But I mean, I can't do it any other way. I mean, I enjoy connecting with people. I enjoy trying to understand people, and I enjoy gaining knowledge and then using that knowledge to help people. So that's really important. That's what Doctor as Teacher is. It means that we are going to be teaching you and gaining information from you to help you as best as we can. Not only that, we are in a lifelong learning process ourselves. The other thing Doctor as Teacher means is that the whole physician heal thyself thing. So that means that we as physicians are on our own healing path. And I was at a conference not too long ago. I think it was at the New Hampshire conference. And one of the docs said, you should be treating yourself. If you have all this knowledge about supplements and you have a lot of knowledge about health, you should be treating yourself, figuring out what's going on with you. And you should be on, the words he used were awesome sauce. You should be on some kind of awesome sauce supplement program. So I try to give myself awesome sauce whenever possible. I don't get it right every day, but there are a bunch of supplements that I like that I take. And maybe I'll talk about that today. What are the things that I like? Because I'm going to talk about a condition that I am dealing with right now a little bit further. I had already mentioned it, but I'll talk about it a little more today. And I'll tell you some things I'm going to be doing for it. Okay, so there you go. So Doctor as Teacher, that's principle number 4. Next week, we'll talk about the 5th principle of naturopathic medicine. Which may be one of them is prevention and one of them is treat the whole person. I have to see what I already talked about to get them all to you. Anyway, all right. So the next thing we're going to talk about today. So before I go on, I'm going to see if any of you have emailed me, and you have not. So I'm going to go back to my outline and talk you through some stuff. Okay. So I want to talk about something fun. I've been talking about the health benefits of many foods. Today, the food we're going to talk about is, well, see here, one of the issues that I have is one of the things I'm always telling people is you need more rest. And any way that you can get rest is good. And anything you can do to lower cortisol is good, that you should have lowering cortisol as a goal. One of the things, I've been talking to people about fat loss and fat loss for menopause and fat loss in general. And one of the things that's very popular right now is intermittent fasting, which is like eat less food or condense your eating time during the day to a smaller window of time, that sort of thing. So I have a list of things that I tell people. I tell people things like, eat your food within an 8-hour window. Don't let perfect be the enemy of good. In other words, if you can't do your 8-hour window the same time every day, move it around. You still have to eat mostly protein and vegetables and less sweet fruits. And you have to still do the thing about where if you're going to eat starchy carbs or starchy foods, eat them at the end of the meal. All those things still apply. I mean, the more junk you eat, the less success you're going to have, even if you're doing an 8-hour window. However, if you do the 8-hour window and you do eat some junky stuff sometimes, you're probably going to do better than if you're eating junky things through the day at any old time. The thing is where to put those junky things. I mean, I hate to tell people you can never again go have an ice cream at the dairy bar. I just don't like to say that to people. If they love the dairy bar, they like to go with their family, have an ice cream. You want to be able to fit that into your life, but maybe you can fit it into your life by having a little bit less or by having it for dessert. If you have it for dessert after you've eaten a meal, your blood sugar isn't going to be as high because you're already loaded up with protein and vegetables and your insulin is going to stay lower. And you're not going to have as much of a glycemic effect and therefore fat storage if you have that ice cream after a meal. And if you have it after a meal, you're likely to eat less. You know, if you're doing a really high fat dairy bar ice cream, it's probably a good idea to not eat a huge sundae unless you've ridden your bike 100 miles, which most of you are not doing. I'm certainly not doing that this week. So anyway, here's the food that I'm going to help you add today. And that's one of the things I was talking about, like I said, was reducing that cortisol. So one of the things on the list for helping you with fat loss is specifically reducing cortisol. any diet plan that you're on, whether you're doing intermittent fasting, whether you're doing keto, whether you're doing Weight Watchers, whether you're just using your MyFitnessPal, whether you are doing a high-carb diet or a low-carb diet or carb cycling, or I don't care. If you are on a fat loss program, if you're on MediFast, if you're on Ideal Protein, anything that you're on, here is one of the things that should be on your list: lowering cortisol. Why? Because if your cortisol is too high, if you are too stressed out, you are going to hold on to fat. Why is that? Because if you're stressed and your cortisol is high, cortisol puts sugar into your blood. And if you do not use that sugar for activity, your insulin will rise. Your insulin will see that sugar and it will turn it into fat and you'll store it. And guess where you'll store it? Right on your belly. Hello, menopausal ladies, because it's worse for us because we have lower progesterone and estrogen. And our progesterone and estrogen stimulate hormone-sensitive lipase and muscle-bound lipoprotein lipase, which help us to burn fat. And we don't have as much of those things. So because it's harder for us to burn fat in the first place, if our cortisol is high, our blood sugar is going to go up. Our insulin is going to rise and see that blood sugar and send it to be stored as fat right here in our tummy. You can't see I'm patting my tummy. Yep. And here's my little cortisol belly. Ugh. What can I say? So, and there are ways to take care of that cortisol belly. So anyway, one of the things to do is you need to lower that cortisol, however you can do it. How do you lower cortisol? Well, you do less stuff. You rest, you take a nap, you take a walk, you go be in nature, you take a sun bath. If you're going to get sunburn, use sunscreen, but take a nice nap in the sun. Use bug spray if you're sitting in your yard. Being affectionate with your partner, hold hands, cuddle, play with your pets, go to church, go to synagogue, meditate, tai chi, yoga, laugh, watch funny movies, lay around, read a book, knit, crochet, any crafts, anything that you find relaxing that doesn't stress you out. You may find that playing with your phone a lot ultimately stresses you out, unless you're using an app that calms you down. And there are definitely calming apps. There are apps you can find that have relaxing music. There are apps that have meditations on them, and you can definitely use those. But if you want to lose fat, one of the things you need to do is lower cortisol. So one of my deals, one of the ways that I lower cortisol is I'm blessed to have satellite radio in my car. And so instead of listening to the amped up news stations, I switch over to Jimmy Buffett, because one of my happy places is the beach. Some people, they have a favorite nature. And depending on what nature you like, you may like the ocean, you may like the river. I like anything with water. My favorite place is the beach, though. I like to be at the ocean. But I do enjoy any water. This weekend, I was very blessed to be able to go swimming in Columbia Lake. I had somebody escort me to Columbia Lake, and I went for a swim in Columbia Lake, which was awesome. Thank you, John. And on Sunday, I was very blessed to be able to be on a boat with my friend Rob and his friend Karen and visit our friends Chaim and Teresa. And that was super awesome. And Chaim and Teresa live in this house right on the Connecticut River. It's really a gorgeous house. And their view is amazing because they live on an elbow. They live on a corner. And Chaim is really funny. He said, there's a lot of action here because like the tour boats, they go to the elbow, and then they turn around. They go around the buoy, and they go back. So there's a lot of action there. It's really funny. And the view from where he sits is spectacular because it goes around this elbow. You have a very wide view, and you're looking off into the hills at the other end of the river there. It's so beautiful. And the lake, Columbia Lake and the Connecticut River, were over 80 degrees. So you could get in and get cool, and it was fantastic. Now, I went to Rocky Neck on Monday as well. So I did lake on Saturday, river on Sunday, and I did ocean on Monday. I really wanted to do that night, but I didn't have a lot of time on Monday, so I didn't go all the way to Westerly. So I did the Long Island Sound, close enough, right? And one of the things you should know is that all of the state parks, there's no charge right now. That's something that Malloy has done to encourage people to use the state parks. So the state parks have no fee. And so it was so funny. I got to Rocky Neck and I went to the the booth where they flag you in, and there was this super adorable ranger sitting there. She was so cute and she had sunglasses on and she was just hanging out, and she gave me a big smile and she just waved me through. And I'm like, really? I can just go through? Oh yeah, go on in. And it's great. So any of the state parks, the other side of that is the state parks are kind of packed. And when I went to the beach, I went to Rocky Neck, it was covered. It was like going to the beach on Long Island. My goodness. I remember when I was a kid, my parents would take me to Orchard Beach or to Jones Beach, and you know, every inch of sand was covered with a blanket. It was almost like that, but because it was a gorgeous day on Monday, so everybody was there. But it was kind of fun because I saw a lot of little cute kids and I saw parents. I had this great conversation with these two women who had brought their kids to go play in the water. And one of the women used to be from Willimantic, and we had a great talk about that. And she told me about a place in Willimantic that makes a milkshake that has cheesecake on top. And I'm like, do I want to try that? It sounds really good. But if you know which place this is, let me know. I'm curious about it. So anyway, that's part of my stress reduction. So when I'm listening to the satellite radio, instead of listening to the stressed out news, I put on Jimmy Buffett because I like the beach. Right. And so listening to Jimmy Buffett station, they play all this sort of Caribbean music, and it evokes the beach and the ocean, and it's really relaxing and fun, and it really calms me down. It's really lovely. So I'll play that, or I'll play the Grateful Dead, but especially when I play the Jimmy Buffett station, it just makes me think of the ocean, and it just chills me out. It's so great. So much better than MSNBC. What can I say? So in that vein, the food that we're going to look at today is macadamia nuts. So macadamia nuts are a tropical nut. They grow in Hawaii. So we have some information here about macadamia nuts. They're really nutritious. They have a lot of fat in them, but they're good quality fat. They have monounsaturated fat in them. Macadamia nuts usually grow in tropical places, and they usually in places with a volcanic soil. So they will grow, of course, in Hawaii, but they also grow in Australia, Indonesia, Brazil. They grow in Kenya and New Zealand and South Africa. And they harvest them a lot in Hawaii. They've been harvesting them from Hawaii since the 1900s. So I don't know that it says they planted them in Hawaii in the 1900s. So I don't know if they were there naturally, that they came from other places. But they grow very nicely there because they have a long season. So that's one of the reasons they have a lot of fat in them. 78 to 86% of the fat is monounsaturated. So it's really good for you. Monounsaturated fat is, that's the kind of fat that's really high in the Mediterranean diet, and it's anti-inflammatory. It helps to lower your cholesterol. It decreases your risk of heart attack and stroke. It also has palmitoleic acid that may help speed up your fat. All right, I'm going to have macadamia. I'm getting macadamia nuts. They may help speed up your fat metabolism, so it reduces your ability to store fat. All right, let's eat some macadamia nuts yesterday. So you can also buy macadamia nut oil, and you can cook with it. And it tastes good, and it has a higher smoke point than olive oil, so you can saute in it. And it can be cooked at higher temperatures without breaking down, losing its flavor. And so it's because it's going to have more saturated fat in it because it's, it's a tropical nut. That's really neat. Also, it has flavonoids. So it has anti-inflammatory compounds. They help to repair damaged cells. They reduce inflammation. They're antioxidants, so they destroy free radicals. Again, they can help lower blood pressure and help you with cancer, help protect you from cancer or they have no cholesterol in them. And of course they're not going to have cholesterol in them because you're only going to find cholesterol. Only animals produce cholesterol. So you're not going to find cholesterol in a macadamia nut. And so again, you're not going to raise your cholesterol by eating cholesterol. So in the end, it doesn't really matter. You may raise your cholesterol. That's something you can test for if you are a person who overabsorbs. You can overproduce and overabsorb cholesterol and sterols from your diet, and there are tests for that. And again, I don't know that your cholesterol numbers are as important as whether you have inflammation in your body. If you have high cholesterol and you have no inflammation, the cholesterol isn't going to do anything to you. If the cholesterol is not oxidized, it's not going to do anything to you. So anyway, macadamia nuts have vitamin A, protein, iron, B vitamins. They have a little bit of selenium, which is going to help you to convert your T4 to T3 and help you with to produce glutathione, which is a detoxifying detoxifying amino acid. It has some minerals like potassium, phosphorus, calcium, magnesium. And there was a study at the University of Hawaii in 2000 where they compared three types of diets, typical American high-fat, high-calorie diet, and then a diet where the fat calories where the only fat that people ate were from macadamia nuts and a heart-healthy diet that's recommended by the American Heart Association. They compared 15 men and women ages 18 to 59, and they followed three diets. Oh, I see. So the three diets were a typical American diet, a diet where the only source of fat was from macadamia nuts, and the third diet was the heart healthy diet recommended by the American Heart Association. So what happened was research from the studies showed that the test subjects who ate the macadamia nut diet had lower cholesterol levels than those on the typical American diet and similar to the ones on the American Heart Association's low fat diet. In addition, participants in the macadamia nut diet showed lower levels of triglycerides, which is the form that fat takes when it's stored in your blood for use. And so the macadamia nut diet experienced no significant changes in their cholesterol or weight. So you could eat a low-fat diet, a low-fat heart-healthy diet as presented by the American Heart Association, or you could eat macadamia nuts and eat a bunch of fat, and you're going to get the same results. How cool is that? I'm going to eat the fat. Why am I going to eat the fat? Because one of the things about fat is that fat is satisfying and it makes you feel good. Fat is good for your brain because you're a fathead. Yesterday, I called one of my patients a fathead and she says, why do I seem like she took it personally? I'm like, no, you don't understand. You're a fathead. Everybody's a fathead. We're all a fathead because we all have fat in our head. Our brains are mostly DHA, docosahexaenoic acid. So there's lots of fat in our brains. That's how that works. And so if you eat good quality of fat, you're going to have you're going to have a healthier brain and you're going to have a healthier nervous system. So when you eat monounsaturated fats, and of course also if you eat omega-3 fats, you're going to have a healthier brain and nervous system. And so if you include macadamia nuts in moderation in your diet, you can have all these nice health benefits for you. So macadamia nuts are pretty darn high in fat. They're higher in fat than pecans and walnuts and almonds and peanuts. Pecans are the next highest in fat. So the further south a nut grows, the more fat it tends to have. That's how that happens. I think because the longer growing season, the more fat it can produce in the nut. And the tropical nuts tend to taste really good. So the two big tropical nuts that we tend to eat, macadamias and cashews, they're really fatty. That's why they're so delicious. You know, not that I find walnuts and almonds and peanuts, but think about the difference in taste between an almond and a cashew or an almond and a macadamia nut. Things with a lot of fat in them taste good because fat emulsifies flavors. And so fat brings out the flavor in foods. And so if you have some good, healthy fat in your diet, you're more likely to stick to that diet because it's going to make your food taste better and it's going to make you more interested in eating your food. I know that if you look at Campbell and Esselstyn, those are the guys who are the super vegetarians. They think that everybody should be a vegan. And they, in their diets, they say no extruded oils. You don't add oils that have been extracted from other foods. And that's nice. And I actually had a patient come in not too long ago who did that, who was asked to go on a Campbell and Esselstyn style vegan diet. She gained weight. So I'm just wondering if she ate healthy fat, if that would have helped her more. Because one of the things about eating more healthy fat, even if it is extruded, the neat thing about fat is it keeps your insulin level. It keeps it at an even level so that it doesn't go as high. And if you can keep your insulin more level and not rising so much, you're going to be less likely to store fat. So if you want to incorporate macadamia nuts into your diet without gaining weight, you put them in instead of other fatty foods. They would go nice on a salad. I don't know if you can get macadamia nut butter. You might be able to. You just have them as a snack. You can put them in with a nice trail mix, mix them in fruit, put them on a salad. And you can have all kinds of, there's all kinds of recipes for macadamia nut, to use macadamia nuts. They're very lovely. Often macadamia nuts, if you're going to look for macadamia nuts, a good health food store is going to store them in the refrigerator. Look at the refrigerated section if your health food store has a refrigerated section where they keep nuts, that's where you're probably going to see them. One of the things, did you know that they're harvested after they fall to the ground? Don't give them to your dogs. They're toxic to dogs. Do not feed them to your dogs. Don't let your dogs near them. They make your dogs, give them a temporary weakness, but they're just not good for your dogs. So xylitol and macadamia nuts, no to dogs. All right. I didn't know this. Because of their color, finely chopped macadamia nuts are used to simulate crack cocaine and police drug sting training. And then you could eat the powder afterwards for a healthy snack. I can't even. The palmitoleic acid in macadamia nuts makes it a common ingredient in skincare cosmetics. So it's a nice heavy fat that you can use as a nice cream. I've become really interested in this macadamia nut oil. I might want to get some and try cooking with it. Maybe I'll do that. Me and Ron will do that, and we'll give you an update on how the macadamia nut oil went. But I'm impressed because you got your protein, you got your fiber, you got your monounsaturated fats, you got your flavonoids. I think the macadamia nut is your friend. I want some. So anyway, if you try it and you have some good success with it, let us know. You can always write to radionaturopath@gmail.com and give me some more information about how you did with your macadamia nuts. What was your experience? Did you make a nice recipe? Did you find a nice recipe that was healthy? I would love to know. Okay. So let's move on. So let's talk about my malady. I have a malady. Very sad. Okay, so here's my malady. I have an injured knee. We think it's bursitis. I'm going to treat it like it's bursitis for now. I had a doctor of physical therapy, the lovely Kimberly X Norris, look at it. So it was the daughter of my dear friend, Rob. And I was very fortunate to, when we were, before we went on the boat, we went to his house and she was there. So I said, Kimberly, can you look at my knee? So she did. And I was so impressed. So this young woman is a physical therapist, but she has a doctorate in physical therapy. I thought that was so interesting. So she's not a physician. She's a very advanced physical therapist. Very cool. So she knows physical therapy inside, outside, upside down. And it also happens that this woman is very intuitive. And so, you know, she can look at your knees, she can look at your body, and she could assess you and tell you what's going on. So I knew that about her because I'd heard that from her dad, her very proud dad. And and so I accosted the poor thing, and she helped me. It was very lovely. So she looked at my knee and she says, I think you have bursitis. And that's what I thought. That was my first guess, too, that I actually had bursitis. So if I have bursitis, that means I have an inflamed bursa. That's one of the sacs that protect my knee. And I was ordered off the bike after I went on that very difficult bike ride in Pennsylvania Dutch country. So I don't think we've been back since we went to Farm to Fork Fondo, Pennsylvania Dutch. So I went on a bike ride that was about 54 miles. It had a reasonable amount of climbing, but the kinds of climbs that were on it were extremely difficult. There were numerous, probably 5 or 6 15% grades, very difficult climbs, and it was over 90 degrees. So the heat index was probably in the mid to high 90s while I was doing this. The last hill that I climbed, I really questioned my sanity. I was about to come around the corner to this hill, and I saw Two guys sitting on the roadside. They were clearly waiting for SAG, which means support and gear, somebody to pick them up. And then as I went up the hill, I continued to encounter many people walking their bikes up the hill. And I'm like, I'm looking at this going, you know, you can get off your bike, Fran. It's okay. All these other people are doing it. There's no shame in it. But I didn't. And the funny thing was, you know, I had injured my knee the week before and been off the bike for 5 days and then got on the bike again to see how it went. And I wound up completing the ride, but my knee was still swollen. And so then when I went to the chiropractor, he said, off the bike. You should be off the bike for a while. Well, first my coach said off the bike. And then when I went to see the chiropractor, he gave me through yesterday. And then, so today I'm going to get out on it and do some light spinning and that's it. And then I'm going to see the acupuncturist today. And then I'm going to see the chiropractor again and he'll make another pronouncement for me. So, when Kimberly looked at it, she said, it looks like you have bursitis. So we're hoping that nothing is torn or broken. I don't know if that's true or not. If I do have a sprained strain, it's a grade one because I can put weight on it. It doesn't really hurt that much, but I can't bend my knee all the way. I can walk around. I have it and I have a tape. The first thing is I have tape on it. Now, one of the things that I have been told by Kimberly and by my chiropractor and by all the practitioners is get in the water. That's why I was in Columbia Lake and the Connecticut River and at the beach and also in the pool. So I've been swimming. I've been off the bike, but I have continued to swim, which is great. So I discovered something that if you want to swim with kinesiology tape on, you have to. So by the way, I'm using kinesiology tape, and kinesiology tape I absolutely love because it's something you can put on. It's very nice because you can put it on and it's not like a brace where your knee is immobilized. It just sits on the surface of your skin and it helps to provide support and improve circulation and it reduces pain. It's really amazing because it's just tape. It's so cool. The thing is, because I'm getting in the water, I need to use the extreme. So KT tape has an extreme variety that has extra sticky on it. And I, because after the first round, I had picked up the extreme at the store and Ron taped me with it. And it was wonderful. It lasted like 5 or 6 days. And that was with swimming and showering and all that kind of stuff. So the next round, I had some pink tape because, you know, I like pink. The pink tape was not extreme. So I went swimming with it a couple of times and it started to fall off after, you know, one decent swim and it was falling off. Had to be redone. So if you're going to be sweating a lot in a very humid environment or if you're going to be swimming, you kind of need to use the extreme, the tape that's meant for wearing in the pool. So that's something that I discovered. And there is athletic tape. Just make sure that whatever athletic tape brand you buy, that it says on it that it's meant for getting wet, that it's extreme and that it's meant for swimming. And in fact, the box that I have has a picture of a guy swimming on it. So that works out well. So I do recommend that. And then, you know, if you look at KT tape, you can go to their website and they have instructions as to how to tape whatever part that is bothering you. It's really quite wonderful. And Kimberly recommended it as well. She said that KT tape is great and the tutorials are great and you can totally use them. It's terrific. So I'm certainly have bursitis. I don't know if I have a minor tendon rupture or not a tendon rupture, but if I have some ligaments or tendons torn. If I do, like I said, it's probably a grade one because I'm not in a lot of pain and I can stand and I can walk. I can do everything. It's just that I have this bursa that's visibly swollen. So what I'm going to do, and I may have a little Baker cyst thing going on too, because I have some discomfort posterior in the back of my knee. So I'm getting a lot of help for it. I'm very fortunate because I'm getting a lot of help and a lot of advice. And unfortunately, I've been off the bike since I went to that ride in Pennsylvania Dutch Country. I am going to try to get on the bike today. I was told to do no hills and flat spinning. So I'm going to go for a short ride out and back and just see how it goes. And if I swell again, then I may have to continue to stay off the bike and just stay in the water. So I have some other great things that I'm doing. I have a wonderful chiropractor who actually literally adjusts my knee. He says that my meniscus, which is part of the padding of the knee, it keeps subluxing backwards. That means it's getting out of place and it's moving backwards to the back of my knee. So he takes an activator and he adjusts it. And what's amazing is after he adjusts my knee, I can bend it more and it feels better. So if you have any physical thing going on, it doesn't have to be your back. You can go to your chiropractor. Your chiropractor can do something for you. People don't realize how versatile chiropractors are. They can adjust anything. If you have organ pain, you can go to your chiropractor and they can help you with that. Some of them will just adjust your spine at that level, and some of them know how to do organ adjustment. Whoever your chiropractor is, you can talk to them and find out what they can do. But please remember that chiropractors, they're really amazing and they can adjust anything. So, like I said, I'm lucky because I have a team. So I had coach barking at me, "You're off the bike until you don't have inflammation anymore." And then I have the chiropractor who's going to adjust me at least weekly, which is great. Then I have acupuncture. So I'm going to see my buddy Nicole, and she's doing a wonderful job. And I always feel better when I see Nicole. Nicole has been helping me with my toe. It's getting old as for the birds. But anyway, she's helping me with my sore first toe on my left side. And then she's also helping me in general with inflammation and also specifically with the knee. So I'm getting great acupuncture for that. The other thing I was told is I do a lot of knee stabilization exercises. I do a couple of things, you know, every week. I do wall leg lifts and I do one-legged deadlifts. I was told not to do those because I shouldn't be putting load on my knee. So I'm off a lot of the ordinary exercises that I do. Like I do some resistance training exercises. So I'm mostly doing upper body. I'm still doing a little bit of kettlebell and I'm still doing some upper body exercises, but anything that directly involves legs, I'm not really doing much. I do one thing where I'm prone on a stability ball and I lift my legs from my glutes and keep my legs steady. And because I'm prone and there's no load on my knees, that's working out okay. I was told not even to do bridges, you use your knees to some extent for support. So I was told not even to do the bridges. So it's all these exercises I'm very good about doing. I'm told you can't do that right now. So I'm trying to, I want to do this right. I don't want to, I don't want to hurt my knee worse. So I want to do what they're telling me to do. And I want to go through the process and see what works. One of my lovely physicians offered me a cortisone shot. He said, I'll give you a Solumedrol shot right now. And it was my PCP who said that, because he does that in his office and he offered it to me. I said, no, two reasons. One is if you use cortisone, one of the things to remember about cortisone is a catabolic hormone. What that means is it eats tissue. So remember we talked about I know we were talking about cortisol before. Cortisol, cortisone, they're very similar to each other. So your body makes some cortisone too. And when you get a cortisone so-called shot, you're getting Solumedrol. You're getting a form of cortisol. So cortisol, as we said, yes, it's true that it puts sugar into your blood, but it is a catabolic hormone. It breaks tissue down. So when you have too much cortisol in your body, one of the things that happens is you can reduce your muscle mass. It eats up your muscle mass. So cortisone also is anti-inflammatory if you take it in a big enough dose. It suppresses inflammation in your body. So if I had gotten that cortisone shot, that bursa would have gone down. But the problem is once you put that cortisone in, the cortisone is also catabolic. It eats up tissue. It goes around taking tissues that are there and breaks it down so you can use it, because cortisone is an emergency hormone. It's a fight or flight hormone. And what it does is it looks around for whatever nutrients it can get to break down, put into your blood so you can use it for fuel so you can get away from the bear. That's what it's for. So if you stick it in your knee, what it's going to do, even though it's going to suppress inflammation, it's going to eat up whatever tissue's in there. That's why you're only allowed to get about 3 per part. So I didn't want to go there. I would rather use other means to get that inflammation down. The other thing that happened, which is super cool, is my beloved Diane Marion, who also known as Mamo, she has been in my life since the year 2001. Do, 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 do. All right. So anyway, she's been in my life since 2001 when I came to Willimantic. And she's a massage therapist, and she has 5 children and 15 and a half grandchildren, because one's on the way. And anyway, so she came over on the 4th of July, and she said, Fran, I have this thing that I'm selling. I'm like, you're kidding, what? And she's selling a handheld cold laser for home use. And I'm like, no. And she's like, yeah. So she has a hookup with somebody down south, and she's being an intermediary and selling them for her. So she loaned it to me. And, you know, now that I have this condition, I'm like, okay, I want that. So I'm going to get one, and I'm going to experiment with it. And so one of the things I was told when I was talking to Kimberly said, do ice. And I'm like, what about the whole thing about ice, where when you put ice on, it makes the fluids more viscous. And so it makes it so that, my concern about doing a lot of ice is that when you, think about motor oil, when you, in the wintertime, what kind of motor oil do you use? You use motor oil that's thinner because you want your motor oil to be able to run around and lubricate all the parts in your car. And so if you put cold on a thick fluid, isn't it going to get thicker? And how is it going to run around and do all the healing it needs to? So what Kimberly said to me is like, Fran, it's okay. You do a little ice. You don't do it for long. It does reduce the inflammation. You're right about the viscosity, but I'm not worried about a small localized bit of viscosity. It's okay to put the ice on. I said, all right, so maybe I do a little ice. And when I went on the boat, Karen and Rob prepared a cold pack for me. And so I was doing the cold pack for a while. But the other thing was, I said to her, but on the 4th of July, Diane gave me this cold laser, this personal cold laser. She said, oh, you have a cold laser? Use that. She got very excited. So cold laser is totally a thing. So if you have a practitioner that has a cold laser, it's a good idea to go to that practitioner. And my chiropractor has cold laser. And now I'm going to have a personal cold laser device, which I'm very excited about because I'm going to use that as a big part of my healing. And I'm hoping that that's going to help me to heal quicker. So it's just a little handheld device, very easy to use, very light. You turn it on. It has red lights. You don't look into the red lights because they can hurt your eyes. And so cold laser doesn't mean that it's literally cold. It means that it's still warm, but it's a lower temperature than a laser you use as a knife or to cut things or for other, often lasers are used in industry to cut things. And this is not that kind of a laser. This laser is at a much lower temperature, still warm, but the neat thing about it is it's similar to far infrared in that it penetrates deep into tissues and it helps to promote healing, regeneration, blood flow, all the things you need to increase healing. So I'm excited about using the cold laser. And then stuff that I'm taking. One of the things, if you have bursitis, one of the things you take is vitamin B6. And I noticed that, so I got myself some pyridoxal 5-phosphate, which is activated vitamin B6. It's not pyridoxine, which is basic vitamin B6 before it's been activated. So I took the first time I took pyridoxal 5-phosphate, I took a decent dose, took 20 milligrams, which is a decent dose. And I felt better, you know, within the half hour, there was some improvement. I noticed that. So vitamin B6 is a classic thing that you use. It's a wonderful anti-inflammatory, and it's particularly aimed at bursitis. It can be really helpful for bursitis. And vitamin B6 also helps to escort magnesium into your cells. So it'll improve your magnesium function. And magnesium is lovely and calming to all of your tissues. And so magnesium, if you have tight parts or, tight muscles and your nerves are jangled, magnesium can help to calm them down. So I got that on board, and I got fish oil, of course, and the fish oil is a wonderful thing. It's anti-inflammatory and it's going to help to rebuild my cells. And then, of course, curcumin, lovely curcumin. So I've got that going as well. I've got some liposomal curcumin. I've got some curcumin phytosome. I've got some extracted curcuminoids, all kinds of good stuff. So I'm definitely taking some anti-inflammatories, and then I'm eating good food. I'm eating fish and vegetables and fruit and berries and, you know, all the good things that you eat. Another good thing is, to reduce the amount of, you don't want to do too much sugar, too much alcohol, because those can be inflammatory and they can hijack your liver. So it's not as available to do your healing. So that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to go ahead. And like I said, I'm going to try to ride my bike today. I'll see if I get inflamed. If I do get inflamed, then I'm going to do what this evening. I have an acupuncture appointment. So that's going to help with that. And then I'll probably do some of that cold laser later. Yep. So there you go. That's the deal with my knee. So we just have a little bit of time left before I sign off on Radio Naturopath for the day. Next week, so I was going to talk about a couple of women's issues. I was going to talk about lichen sclerosis, and I was also going to talk about how do you help with hot flashes. And so I think I'm going to push those to next week. But I will talk for a minute about omega-6 fatty acids, because people are always thinking about the omega-3 fatty acids, but they don't think about as much about omega-6 fatty acids. So you have to be careful with some omega-6 fatty acids. Arachidonic acid is what's found in that if you eat too much grain, you're going to have too much of a load of arachidonic acid. Arachidonic acid is an omega-6 fatty acid, and it is part of the prostaglandin 2 series, so it is inflammatory. And so if you eat beef, for example, that is not grass-fed and has been fed on corn, there's going to be too much omega-6 fatty acid in it. So it's going to be more inflammatory. That's why when people say you shouldn't eat beef because beef is bad for your cardiovascular health, it's not entirely true, because if the animal is 100% grass-fed, then it's not going to hurt you cardiovascular-wise. And then it's going to have a much higher omega-3 fatty acid proportion if it's 100% grass-fed. But omega-6 fatty acids will be much higher if the animal is eating corn. And it doesn't matter if it's GMO corn or organic corn. It's still going to have – cattle are not supposed to eat corn. They're supposed to eat grass and weeds. And so you ever see a cow grazing in a cornfield? No. So, all right. So anyway, unless they're eating the weeds in between the corn, and you don't see that. What you see is they're in the field eating the grass, eating the weeds, eating the clover, eating whatever's there. Okay. So, however, there are omega-6 fatty acids that are good for you, and those include gamma-linolenic acid. So gamma-linolenic acid is high in things like evening primrose oil and borage oil. Those are probably the two supplements that you can find more gamma-linolenic acid in. And so evening primrose oil and borage oil and the gamma-linolenic acid in them are lovely and anti-inflammatory, and they can be really helpful for you. The other thing is they can really help with mood. They help with inflammation, and I think they probably help to an extent with inflammation in your central nervous system, which is why they're so lovely at calming you down and making you feel good when you have mood issues. So both borage oil and evening primrose oil can be used that way. I highly recommend them both, you have to find a dose that works for you. So they're really nice use for inflammation. And you can use evening primrose oil and borage oil topically as well. So if you have something inflamed, if you have eczema, or if you have seborrhea, if you have dandruff, it's hard to use that way, because usually it's hard to find evening primrose oil and borage oil liquid. So sometimes you have to buy caps and you have to break them open and then put them on the part. But if you have an inflamed condition, you can use straight evening primrose oil and borage oil on that part. Of course, you should consult with your friendly local naturopath before you do that. That's generally a good practice if you're not sure what you're doing. And, to get some education and information about it, and to check if your condition warrants it, and if there are any specific issues with your condition, because every rash is different, every inflammation is different, and there are different things that go on when you're considering that. So So borage oil, and even primrose oil, nice stuff. Blackcurrant oil, I recommend blackcurrant oil too, just so you know, blackcurrant seed oil has gamma-linolenic acid in it, but borage oil and even primrose oil are higher in the gamma-linolenic acid. So that's going to be, they're going to be a good source of those things. All right, so that's what you got going on. Another thing, let's see, I've had, Ron and I were deciding, should we have a Frappuccino or a Frappe kind of drink, or should we go get a smoothie? And we then decided to go get the smoothie. And the funny thing is, the place we went to get the smoothie, Ron got something that was pretty similar to a mocha Frappuccino, and I got the Green Goddess. So I'm like, it's kind of funny because he got like this sort of mocha, peanut butter, chocolate. That's what he got. And I got the Green Goddess. And then my Green Goddess had avocado and arugula and kale, had a little banana. So mine was very green. And I have them put cacao powder in it and sometimes flaxseed powder. It was so good. And so if you're thinking about going to get that, you know, the other thing I had is on the 4th of July, my sister insisted upon running over to the convenience store and getting their version of slush. So depending what convenience store you're going to, they have different names. And so she got that they were very inexpensive at the convenience store that she went. So she got a whole bunch of them. And so we're at the 4th of July drinking these things. And I was able to take about three sips because they were so sweet. My goodness. So that's one of the things that I tried. And I was able to get through, I don't know, a quarter of one, the weird flavors and all that. But what can you do? You know, it's 4th of July. What are you going to do? And so I had that. And rather than having that or having, you know, those frappe kinds of things or a milkshake, one can consider going and getting a smoothie. And you can get healthy smoothies various places. There are various places around town to get delicious smoothies. So, for example, one could go to Not Only Juice. One could go to Dog Lane Cafe. One could even go to Jamba Juice. Be careful of Jamba Juice that they just have good ingredients in their smoothies. But so there are a couple places in town. Very refreshing, very natural, very lovely thing to enjoy in the heat this time of year. All right. So you have been listening to Radio Naturopath. It's a call and talk show about health and natural medicine. I'm Fran Storch, ND. My co-host Ron Meniza will be back next week. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcasts at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores.